The time is coming up on 8:50, 34 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. Time now for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices fell in November as gasoline prices tumbled. Gasoline prices dropped 7.4% during November, the largest decrease in nearly 4 years. The index for consumer prices decreased 0.3% in November. Food costs, however, rose 0.2% in November, and that is the sixth consecutive monthly increase. NOPA says soybean crush was 157.308 million bushels for November. That's up almost 4 million bushels from the previous month. Stellar domestic and export demand for soy meal and soy oil, coupled with the best processing margins in 2 years, kept crushers running full bore near 100% capacity. South Korea's animal feed millers have purchased 5 cargoes of option origin corn, totaling 324,500 metric tons on a cost and freight basis. The shipments are expected to come from South America, although sellers also have the option to supply corn from the U.S. In all, in the last 2 days, South Korean importers have snapped up 630,000 tons of corn. China's manufacturing activity rose to a 14-month high in December. The monthly purchasers managers index rose to 50.9 on a 100-point scale. Anything above 50 represents expanding activity. The number in November was 50.5. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,185, up 14.5 points. The NASDAQ, 2983, is down 9. The S&P 500, 1418, down 1.25 points.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Longtime WILL.org and AM 580 analyst Dan Zwicker with CGB Enterprises says that WILO agriculture has something a little bit special, and that is timely and reliable market information, and they deliver it, we deliver it, all across the Corn Belt.
I can go by any place in the Corn Belt, and somebody is listening to WILL on the Internet. So my voice and everybody else's voice associated with WILL is well-recognized. You don't have to go to any kind of farm show and start talking, and they're gonna recognize you. So I don't care whether I'm in Wisconsin or Michigan or Ohio, outside of the normal listening audience, there are people listening to it on the Internet.
If you appreciate our web service, and more to the point, if you have used it and it has helped your bottom line in some way, something that we said sparked a marketing decision that helped you out along the way, wouldn't you go to your phone now in our holiday pledge period and give us a call at 217-244-9455 with a pledge of support. Todd Gleason and I like the $120 level. We think that's fair market value. More is grand, less is fine. You decide how much. The important thing is, though, that you pick up the phone and call. 217-244-9455 alongside Les Schulte and Les. This idea of platforms that Dan Zwicker was talking about, the web, we have been really big on that concept, trying to deliver market advice in any way that people can consume it.
That's right, Dave, because we know that people who are in the agricultural business need information. Sometimes you can wait for it, but a lot of times you can't, and you need it right away. And so we want to be there to be able to deliver that kind of information to you when you need it and how you need it. So along with the radio reports that we have, and we have a lot of them during the day, something like that. We have also, you can get information immediately by phone, by text, on the internet, on our website. And, of course, our newsletter comes out once a week, and that's just jam-packed full of good information that you can use. And that's what people tell us. I mean, we're just not kind of making that up.
No, that's what they
say. People
tell
us this is information we use and we need, and that's what we want to hear. And that's the kind of information that we want to invest in for you, but we need those dollars to be able to invest in it, and that's why we come to you a few times a year and ask for your support. 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Our first snow system of the season may be impacting the lower eastern portions of the Midwest as we get into the early part of next week. The storm system is actually an upper-level low-pressure system that will be carrying a little pocket of cold air with it, and as it passes through the lower and eastern portions of the Midwest, we'll probably see a little snow develop. This is likely to occur as we move into the Sunday night, Monday time period for portions of Missouri. Initially, it'll start off rather innocently, just a little bit of snow shower activity expected at that point in time, but as we go through the day Monday, the system will become a little bit more intense, and by Monday evening, we'll probably see a little bit more meaningful snowfall from northeastern Illinois and most of Indiana into Ohio and parts of Michigan, and we'll see anywhere from a dusting upwards to maybe 2 or 3 inches of accumulation across some of that region. There may be a very small pocket of greater amounts of snowfall. It just depends on how well developed the upper-level low becomes before it exits the Midwest. Before that system impacts the Midwest, we do still have this other storm system we've been talking about this week, and that is the one that is in hard red winter wheat country today. Some light rain is starting to develop aloft over parts of Texas and Oklahoma, and as we go through the day today, that precipitation event will become more and more significant. But it, unfortunately, is rain that's falling through a very dry air mass, and this morning radar looks like it's showing rain in quite a few areas in the Texas Panhandle and western Oklahoma, but if you look at the surface observation, that rain isn't reaching the ground. That's indicative of our drought, and that's one of the reasons why the precipitation amounts in the plains will be somewhat restricted. Many areas will pick up upwards to a quarter of an inch. Maybe about a third of the region will pick up on a quarter to a half inch, and then only a few counties in the northeast part of wheat country will likely see a half to three quarters of an inch. The high plains region of Colorado, western Kansas, and southwestern Nebraska will see the least amount of precipitation out of this event. Now, as that event moves on to the northeast, it will bring rain to Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, southeastern South Dakota, parts of Illinois, even over to Michigan. The greatest precipitation will be in parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, northwestern Illinois. There may be a few counties there pick up on an inch or more of rain. Most of the region will probably pick up on a quarter to three quarters of an inch, and there'll be a little bit of snow on the backside of the storm system from South Dakota into parts of Minnesota. Maybe a dusting to 2 or 3 inches there possible. Now, as that system and the one that early next week gets across the Midwest, we'll likely see at least a fair amount of the region seeing a small boost in topsoil moisture, but it's nothing major. But we may also see enough runoff here from the Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois precipitation event and the melting snow from the upper Midwest that we might actually lift some of the water levels on the Mississippi as we move into the week next week. But don't look for a major change in the barge restrictions because the increase is going to be very short-lived unless we can get a quick succession of other storm systems to move across the same region, which does not seem to be very likely at this point in time. Our temperatures across the Midwest this weekend are going to be, we'll call it warmer than normal, but at times there will be some pockets of cooling across the region. High temperatures today will be mostly 40s and 50s, except in the far north where a lot of 30s will occur. And then on Saturday, 50 and 60 degree readings will be common in the southern two-thirds of the region with some 40s and 30s in the far north. And as we move on into Sunday, some of that cooler air will start to work its way southeastward, but it'll be Monday or Tuesday before it works its way through the entire region. Low temperatures at night are expected to slip back into the 20s and 30s in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, and we'll likely see readings elsewhere in the 40s. In fact, some lower 50-degree lows may occur on Sunday morning in the east ahead of the next storm system, and then we'll start seeing some cooling tendencies thereafter, with lows maybe by Tuesday running in the 20s and 30s in much of the Midwest with some teens in the northwest. This is Drew Lerner. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's go ahead and look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. December wheat is not trading, and that has been the case all week in the electronic. The March, 867.5, up 4.75. In Chicago, December wheat, 801.75, up 8.75. December corn, 714.25, up 2. July, 723, up 1.75. December of 13, 626. It's unchanged on the day. January soybeans, 14.90, up 13.5. July, 14.48.25, up 9. November 13, 13.14.75, up 5. December soybean meal, 4.65.20, up 4.70. December soybean oil, 49.24, up 62. December live cattle, 125.85, down 35. January feeders, 152.40, down 72.5. And December lean hogs, 82.17.5, and they are up a nickel. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Well, good morning, Dave.
NOPA crush numbers, solid, just solid numbers, not record numbers, but combined with the export sales earlier this week at 48.5, there's no reason why beans shouldn't rally.
That's exactly right. And you know, disappointing close yesterday in beans where we couldn't hold that rally, but you're right, Dave. These NOPA crush numbers come out. And you know, year to date, we are, what, almost 30 million bushels above where we were a year ago. You add in what's happening in the export market, and yeah, beans should stay strong. I don't think it's any secret that the stocks are very small out in the country in soybeans. Basis levels are staying pretty firm. In fact, you know, we kind of look for old crop soybean basis to stay strong well into the first part of 2013.
So what are your thoughts on where futures could rally? Where could we see March go to?
Well, you know, we're flirting with 15. Right now, this 1490 area has been a source of resistance for the nearby months for several weeks. If we can break out of this trading range, Dave, I think you can see another 50 cents out of the nearby beans. But we got to break out of it and hold that for a day or two to get that opportunity. Otherwise, you're going to see us, you know, continue to bounce around. And I don't know the likelihood of that ahead of the January crop report. There just seems to be so much willingness to kind of stay patient with markets to get to that point.
What do you make of the corn market? Technically speaking, we've been trading for this week at the lower end of a sideways channel that's been in place for a couple of months, and we've tested that 715 area on the December contract this week, bounced off of it. But on the other hand, we see South Korea again in the market with both hands for soybeans, but it's option-oriented, which means most of it likely to come from South America, and the delivery dates are later in the year.
They are. They're pushing them back, and you're right. They're, you know, it's almost like our shopping window or our being the main focus that has almost shut on soybeans, Dave, and we keep thinking that, but yet the export sales keep coming out really solid. But you're right. It does seem like everybody's turning towards South America now on the soybean side, and you can't blame them. But getting back to the corn question, you know, I think if beans are going to try to break out to the top side, you're going to struggle to see corn really sell off too much. So I think corn probably holds this support area. But again, it's going to want to buy time ahead of that crop report because the demand just hasn't been good. You mentioned that earlier. You're exactly right. Corn demand is just kind of floundered, and so has the market accordingly. You know, we're going to be, I know a lot of people are talking at January crop report and increased bean yields, but they got to increase demand to eat that up. What are they going to do with harvested acres on corn? You got to think that number goes down, but then they could ratchet demand down. So, you know, I think you're going to see a sideways to slightly higher trade in corn heading into the crop report. And if beans can break out, we're probably going to stay pretty strong into the first of the year.
30 seconds, what should we know over the weekend to keep an eye on?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. You know, I know weather seems to be key in the wheat world. We really need some relief out west. I know they've hammered wheat pretty hard because of global global supplies seem to be pretty solid there. But again, South America, we're going to really start turning our attention to what happens to weather there. So I would say those two big things would be weather in the plains for wheat and South American wane weather for soybeans.
Thank you very much, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thank you.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. You know, Les, what you just heard from Ed, that kind of in-depth market analysis, breaking down the markets, breaking down beans, breaking down corn, where could they go market-wise? Why could they go there market-wise? That's the kind of information that people can get a hold of and use in their lives.
It really is, Dave, and that's the kind of information we really concentrate on here at WILL to give you the information that you need, that you can use. And think about investing in it. Just $10 a month will help pay for all of the news and information and agricultural information you hear right here on WILL. No matter how you contribute, amount you contribute, your call will sustain the effort of keeping the news and agricultural information you count on flowing each day here at WILL. So call this number right now, 217-244-9455, and make your pledge of support. Thanks.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:06 Central Time.